1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, and we'll begin reading verse 13. If you could stand in reverence to the Word of God, and we'll begin to read. Amen. The Bible says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now follow along with these words closely, and you'll get what we're getting here. It says, I would not be ignorant, to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That word asleep means dead. Simple. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We, Ephesians 2 and verse 12 said we had no hope of being from the commonwealth of the Jews. We had no hope as Gentiles, but the wall of partition was removed from that. And in that, we have hope this morning. I think it's Hebrews 6 and verse 19 says we have an anchor of hope. And thank God I got that hope this morning. And the Bible says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. That's what it says. For this we say unto you by the word of God, the Lord, excuse me, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. We ain't going to stop them. We ain't going to stop them, friend. I tell you, it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain. I don't know if I'll be alive, but either way I'm going. Shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Turn over your Bibles, Revelation chapter number 19. We're going to read one verse there. Revelation chapter number 19 and verse 1, the Bible says, and after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for your goodness. I pray, God, you'd help us this morning. And if anyone gets in glory, say, Jesus and He alone, put us to our spots. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As this week went by, I'll be honest with you. As this specific week went by in my life, I found myself, it was a really, 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 did I say that enough? Really tough week. It was a hard week for me this week. It really was. And, you know, I found myself all week surrounded by carnal men, surrounded by lost men, saying carnal things, living in a carnal world that we live in today, and seeing so many of this carnal stuff going on. It means wicked, by the way. Wicked stuff going on, this sinful stuff going on in our lives. At times, I began to get discouraged in my walk as I was going along. Then Wednesday came. I was ready to come to church, but then, you know, things happen. You get to church, and the devil works on you at weak points, and plus it's easy to get discouraged in this life. It just simply is. There's too many ways to look around. But I kept on pushing as I went on. I kept on praying as I went on, and I knew the Lord would send me just what I needed in His time. I knew He would. I knew He'd send me something just what I needed. But remember, though, the devil did not tempt Jesus on the first day, but rather on the 40th day. And so, remember, He gets you at your weakest points. And you know, He worked on me, and He worked on me. Come Thursday, He worked on me. It's already 3 days into the week. He's working on me. He's working on me. The devil's working on me. He's working harder, and He's working harder. I get up here, I preach to the 10 people that came on Wednesday, and He's working on me. He's working on me. He's working on me. And then here He goes. I get off of the pulpit. I go back home. He's still working on me. He's still working on me. I'm still pushing. I'm still praying. I'm still saying, Lord, I got this. We got this, Lord. We're in this thing together. I'm going to be unmovable. I'm going to be unshakable. It doesn't matter what comes my way, Lord. We got this. And so I go on a little bit farther, and come Friday, I go to work. You know, Friday's the best day you can go to work. It's the longest day at work, but it's it's payday at work, so it might be halfway decent at least. But as you go to work, and you know, you're still hard to wake up on Friday morning. Especially this week, my goodness, I was hard to wake up. I was either under a house or on top of a house all week long. It didn't matter. There was the two worst places you want to be, and I mean by in an attic, by the way, not actually on the roof. So it's terrible one way or the other. It's hotter in the attic than it is on top of the roof sometimes, I'm telling you. But as I went on in this week, I'm just preaching myself for a minute, all right? Is that all right? As I went on in this week, and I found all this stuff began to pile up on me, and, you know, I found myself oftentimes looking and longing for the Lord to appear in the eastern sky. I began to look, and I began to say, Lord, I'm ready for you to just come on. I talked to Brett on Friday, and we were talking about the Lord appearing. And it's ultimate. It's something I'm ready for. Y'all ready for that? Yeah, man, if you ain't, you need to be saved. Simple. But as I was doing that, I was on Friday, I was tearing off boards in a wall. I actually got to spend about 30, no, I got to spend about half a day actually on a main good floor. And you know, and so I was tearing off some boards, pretty easy. I was all alone. I was in there, it was me, and it was God. And, you know, as I was dealing with that, He began to give me some peace, and He began to give me some help. Just what I'd been longing for all week. You know, first thing I asked Him, why didn't it come on Monday? I'll be honest with y'all for a minute, all right? I mean, why didn't it come on Monday? Why'd it have to wait till Friday to come? Because He knows. He says our weakness is strong in Him. And so I went on and I went on and he gave me this message. He gave me this message, and all I could say was, thank you, Lord. After I said, why didn't you give it to Monday? I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving me this message. This is just what I need. And I hope you're with me this morning. I hope you're with me this morning. Happy to be in the house of the Lord. I sure am longing for the day when Jesus splits the eastern sky and appears out on a cloud, friend. He's going to do it. Y'all realize that, right? He's really going to do it. Let's worship this morning, though, for a few moments as I preach on what a meeting in the air. What a meeting in the air. On this day will be a family reunion. Everybody with me. It'll be a family reunion like you ain't never experienced before. Ever. You ain't ever going to experience a family reunion like this when you say, my family reunions are pretty good. They're only good because you like the food there. You don't like half your family anyways. Don't lie to yourself. Yeah, man, all I'm saying is that with this family reunion, you're going to like them or you're going to lump it. It doesn't matter. You're going to be there with them for eternity. I promise you there's going to be some people there that you didn't think was going to get there. Yeah, man, I'm just telling you, friend. I tell you, we see this morning, it will be, number one, it will be the largest family reunion ever. The largest family reunion ever. I mean, the Bible says in verse 16, the Lord Himself shall ascend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So those who are dead, they're dead. Everybody with me? Then which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It'll be the largest family reunion you've ever experienced because millions and millions and probably millions of saints, so believers will be in one place at one time, gathered together, called up with Jesus in the clouds. We'll be there, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Think about it. I like going to revivals. I love going to revivals. I love going to camp meetings. You'll go there. I preached at the Mount Carmel last year, and there was like 400 people out there, and I was like nervous as could be up here. But the thing about it was, I was so glad to be there amongst those people, amongst the brethren, amongst all the people in that place, because it just felt like we clicked together. You ever felt that feeling when you're going out there and you know, you've been talking to a sinner, you've been talking this, but then they get saved and you're like, just feels something different in this thing. I just feel, you know, I've seen it with some of you folks. Some of you folks have been in here, and you know, me and you just didn't click too good. Most of the time, you butted heads with me. But when you got saved, things change. Amen. My wife. Can I say? I'm going to be honest. My wife. We butted heads a whole lot more before she was saved than we do now. We still butt heads a little bit. And if you don't with your wife, then tell me how. Amen. All I'm saying is that we butted heads more before she was saved than we do now. And she got saved. Thank God for that. But the whole thing about it is that at this place it will be the largest gathering. Largest family reunion you've ever came to. You might say, my family's big. I don't care if your family's big. It ain't going to be as big as this family. Yeah, man, in God's family, it's a big family, friend. But I tell you is that we'll see the late saints. We'll see the late saints. The Bible tells us at the end of verse 16 that the dead in Christ shall rise first. I've always heard that the Baptists are going to go first, I guess. They dead in Christ. But anyways, all I'm saying is that the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and those that are alive and remain shall meet Jesus in the clouds. We'll see the dead saints, all those who have left before you and I. Can you imagine this now? All those who have left before you and I will once again be before us. They left before us upon this earth, and they're going to leave before us to go to heaven. And so there on this blessed reunion day, we will see the saints of old, friend. We'll see grandma. We'll see grandpa. If they were saved, we'll see mom. We'll see dad. We'll see brother. We'll see all of those people that have went on before us. As long as they were washed in the precious blood of Jesus, we will see them on this day. Now, if we can't be happy about anything else, we can be happy about that. Amen. If saved, we will see them. Glory to God, I don't know about you, but I surely do miss their physical appearance. Some of them, I miss their physical appearance on this earth, but one day I'll see them. One day I will see them, and when I do, it's going to be a reunion that I can never imagine. Amen. It'll be a large one, friends. Amen. I got grandmas that's gone. God's been good. I ain't lost a whole lot of family in my life. But I tell you, I got a grandma that's gone. Two of them I know saved. And I'm going to see them again. And I'm going to know them as they was. Y'all realize that, right? I got an aunt that's gone. And I'm going to see her and know her as she was. Amen. And I tell you, friend, is that if you realize that and grip that in your mind, then you will not. You'll rest a whole lot easier at night. But here, I'm going to say this. I understand the loss of a loved one. Man, I couldn't imagine some people losing their parents and that sort of stuff. I haven't had to do that yet. But let me understand. Let me think about something for a minute. I see some people who are so constantly posting stuff, saying stuff, this and that, about losing a loved one. I understand losing a loved one. Everybody understands about losing a loved one, right? But one thing that in my mind makes me wonder is why can they not let them go? They're in a much better place than they are here. I wouldn't call my grandparents back for nothing up on this earth. And let me just be honest with you. She gave me some money. She gave me good presents. She gave me this. She gave me that. She fed me many times. She done all kinds of stuff. But I wouldn't call her back here for that. I wouldn't call her back here for that for nothing. Because I know where she's at right now. And she is there. And one day when I see her, guess what? She ain't gonna have no wrinkles. There ain't no wrinkles in heaven. Y'all know that, right? Amen. She ain't going to have no problem walking. She ain't going to have to sleep all the time anymore. She ain't going to have to suffer with cancer anymore. She ain't going to have to do any of that because none of that will be in heaven. And I wouldn't pull her back for that to save my life. It's selfish. But thank God that I got a God who's already got them. Amen. When we get there, we will see the saints of old, the late saints. Secondly, we'll see the living saints. The Bible says at the beginning of verse 17, then which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds. We'll see the living saints, friend. Those who are still alive will be caught up. You know the word rapture is not in the Bible? They'll be caught up, which means to be carried off. Not just carried off, but carried off by force. Amen. That's what it means. It means to be snatched out, or to be snatched away. Amen. And friend, I tell you something. When Jesus reaches his, he reached his hand down for me one time. He's gonna reach his hand down to me to get me the second time, and he's gonna take me out of this place with a shout, and I'll be gone. Yeah, man, it's simple as that. I'll be gone, and I'll meet them right up in the clouds. Amen. I've said it many times. I'll be cloud surfing. Amen. Amen, friend. To meet the late saints, what a reunion. To meet the living saints. Think about that. Think about that in your life. Those who you have worshiped with. Maybe me and you. Maybe we'll be riding up there together. Maybe we'll be in church worshiping God and we'll all leave at the same time. All I'm saying is that I would much rather be here than watch TV at home. Amen. All I'm saying is that at this time, what if we've worshiped with these people? We're going to see them there. What if we have walked this world with these people, the same hard life that it is to live as a Christian? We've walked with them. What about those who maybe you have led to heaven? And you never knew that gospel tract mattered that much. And they got saved and they meet you up there and they said, hey, thank you for dropping that off. How about that? Y'all realize it's real stuff right now. This is going to happen one of these days. I'm just glad that I've got to lead some people to the Lord. Nothing about myself, but the Bible says, blessed man that leadeth souls, that saveth souls. Wise is that man that leads souls. And that's what Proverbs tells us. I know I misquoted it, but anyways, all I'm saying this morning is one day I'm going to stand up there and I'm going to be with you, hopefully, every single one of you in here. If I'm not, I can be. You can be with me because I'm going. Amen. I ain't staying for somebody else. Listen, glory to God, I'm glad we'll have a reunion day. What a day that's going to be when we get to see the late saints, the living saints. And then also we'll see the loving Savior. The Bible says this. It says at the end of that, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh my. I'm ready to see the late saints. I'm ready to see the living saints. But beloved, listen to me. There's nothing that they cannot compare to how much I want to see the loving Savior. Not compare even the slightest amount to the one who loved me so much to die for me, to shed his blood for me, to save me, redeem me, seat me in heavenly places. That's the God that I want to see, and I'm going to see him. Yeah, man, if you come into church to see me, you're coming for the wrong reason. If you come into church to see God, you're coming to the church for the right reason. And if you're going to heaven to see somebody else who you think you are, you ain't going to heaven. But if you're going to heaven to see the Savior, then you're going to the right reason. Amen. You're going to heaven. You can go. You can go to heaven. You can get there. I can go in, but I have to go through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. One day I'll see them, friend, but one day I'll see him, and I'll be glad for that day. What a glorious reunion day. It'll be the largest family reunion you've ever been to. Amen. And the wonderful thing about it is it ain't going to be just a few days. It ain't even going to be a few hours. Amen. Most of us families can't even get along for an hour. Come on, somebody. Y'all know that's right. Y'all know I'm right this morning. All I'm saying is that, but this family reunion, you ain't got to worry about sucking on lemons all day. You ain't got to worry about your mother and ma moved in your house. You ain't going to look sad. You're going to look smiley and you're going to look happy. And if you don't, I feel like we got a God in heaven who's going to smack you across the face and smack a smile on you. Amen. I'm saying, he is a wrathful God, right? Amen. All I'm saying is that we need to smile and be happy that God is in our life. He's in our life, friend. It would be the largest family reunion we've ever been to. Secondly, it would be the longest family reunion ever. The Bible says in the end of verse 17, so shall we ever be with the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen, beloved, it would be one thing if this reunion was going to last 10,000 years. You say, that's a long time. It sure enough is a long time. 10,000 years is a long time, but it ain't going to last 10,000 years. It's going to last eternity. Can anybody tell me how long eternity is? Exactly, because there ain't no end. Yeah, man, that's the craziest part about it. Is that there ain't going to be no end. I'm glad, friend, that this reunion is going to last forevermore. Amen. It'll be the longest family reunion I've ever been to. Thank God. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 21. Let me read that verse real quick. The Bible says, everybody all right this morning? Amen. It says, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. You believe that? Amen. Forever I'll be walking the streets of gold. Amen. Forever I'll be walking the street of gold. I know that it does not sound very wonderful to be walking all the time. I know everybody in here hates walking. I know most people hates walking. I know most people hate running. I know most people get out of breath in here. I know most of all that kind of stuff. I know, but let me just encourage you, you will not run out of breath in heaven. Your legs will not get tired in heaven. Amen, I'm happy about that. Thank God. I got heavy legs, amen. And your feet won't hurt in heaven. Why? Because they'll all be new. They'll all be new. It's something about it, friends. We're rich in Jesus. We are rich in Jesus. Streets of gold don't excite you. Well, it excites me because I ain't never seen a street of gold. I ain't never seen a street of gold. It's amazing to me. I've never seen one, probably never will see one until I get to heaven. But one of these days I'll see. Listen, it's amazing to me that Jesus probably could have gave just a street that had no potholes in it and people would be excited to see it. Amen. But friend, He gave us a street of gold is what He gave us. A street of gold. I mean, I'm glad about that this morning. You know, it won't have potholes. Thank God I don't live in South Carolina, amen. It don't have potholes. It won't be rough at all. But it'd be a perfect street. It'd be a perfect street. It'd be pure gold. Think about this, though. Think about this. John is writing in Revelation 21:21. Is that right? Think about this. It's Palm Sunday. Jesus is coming into town, right? There's palm branches on the ground and a bunch of dusty robes. And John, the young John, is walking beside Jesus, who is on the borrowed donkey. Now think about it, okay? He's walking beside him, and John is doing all of that, and he remembers back to all of that. Now think about it. John's sitting on Patmos, is that right? The old John sitting on Patmos thinking back at the young John. And he's saying, I remember walking that dusty road. That road that Jesus rode in with a donkey. All it was palm branches. All it was dusty coats on the ground. But this place, now the old John is sitting on Patmos. He's tattered. He's torn. He's rough around the edges. His back may be bent over. He probably ain't got no teeth. He probably can't see nothing but sea. We know that, and he can't do any of that. His hands are shaky, but his mind is full of a revelation of streets of purest gold. Think about that. That's why John had so much joy, because John seen dusty streets, but now he sees his future home, and he sees streets of gold, or a street of gold. I don't know if there'll be more than one street. It only says street, but let me tell you, what a contrast to think about. Glory to God, friend. I'll be dealing with gold. Right now I deal with heartache. I deal with trouble. I deal with all this stuff. But up there I'll be dealing with gold. Yeah, man. I read this quote the other day. Kind of funny. A little humorous. I got a little humor out of it. It was written by an immigrant. Italian immigrant, okay, in 1900. He said, I came to America because I heard the streets were paved with gold. When I got here, I found out three things. First, I found out the streets weren't paved with gold. Second, they weren't paved at all. Third, I was expected to pave them. All I'm saying is, friend, when you get to heaven, you ain't gonna have to do a thing. It's already done. Thank God I'm glad about it. All I'm saying this morning is there's a God in heaven who ain't gonna have to leave you a shovel. I hate shoveling. He ain't gonna give you anything to work on, because guess what? It is done. Yeah, man. I'm glad it's taken care of, friend. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'll forever be walking on the streets of gold. We'll forever be worshiping the Son of God. How about that? Forever be worshiping the Son of God. Thank God that when I get there, I won't be able to be unfaithful to worship Him. I'll be doing it forever, friend. Forever and ever I'll worship Him for who He is, what He has done, where He has brought me from, and where I have become. I am glad tonight, this morning, thank God that we ought to be doing this now. We ought to be worshiping now, because when we get there, we might be in for a slight surprise. We might be in for a slight surprise when we get to this place. Better get used to it, though, because it's only going to be forever. Y'all realize that. Yeah, man, what a glorious reunion day. And it'd be the largest, sure enough. It'd be the longest. I know it'd be the longest, amen, because I ain't ever coming down from there. Yeah, man. Thirdly, it'd be the loveliest family reunion you have been to. Be the loveliest family reunion you ever been to. I've personally heard of many family reunions that were not so lovely. Can anybody attest to that? Yeah, man. Some family reunions were not so lovely in all, but maybe you've went to some, maybe some of yours. But this one here will be very, very, very lovely. You know what lovely means? It means exquisitely beautiful. It means very pleasant or enjoyable, delightful. All I got to say is, let me ask you this. What do you think will make this reunion so lovely? That's a very big thought. Well, let me just tell you. One thing going to make it so lovely is I'll be with my kindred forever. Now this ain't just the ones that I know. But these are my kindred, friend. The ones that are saved. My family. I'll be with them forever. I don't know about y'all, but it's a glorious thought to me to know that I'm going to spend forever with some of you folk. All of you folk, I shouldn't have said that. Amen. So with you folk, I'll be glad to spend forever with you guys. You know, I know some of you folk have had some loved ones who have passed, though. Some precious loved ones to you. James, you lost your mom. Precious to him. But can I tell you something? The wonderful thing about it is that when this day comes, we'll be forever with our kindred. The saved kindred. All I got to say is the ones you want to be with forever, you better get them in. You better get them in. Because one of these days, I'll be with my kindred forever. Secondly, I'll be with my king forever. I'll be with my king forever. Listen, my, this world has separated me physically from seeing the face of my Savior. Right now, I'm looking through a glass that is darkened. I cannot see the face of my Savior. My flesh wouldn't allow me to see the face of my Savior. It just can't do it. But one of these blessed days, I'll be able to lay my eyes on the King of Kings. There I'll be with the King forever, and I'll be able to see Him. See Him. Can you imagine that in your own mortal mind? That's my King, friend. Can I just tell you what something? I can't remember who I read this. I cannot remember it saved my life, but I think it might have been Spurgeon or someone along those terms. But one of the best things that you can think about, 1,000+ times in history, has a baby become a king. But only one time in history has a king become a baby. And friend, that was Jesus Christ. He became a king. He became a baby. He left the streets of gold that you're looking forward to. He left the walls of jasper, the gates of pearl. He left all of those mansions. He left His heavenly Father to come to this awful world in this place to be for you killed. Killed for you. My friend, one of these days, my king will be, I'll be with Him forever. And when I get there, He's not just going to be the king before the baby, but now He's going to have a lot of crowns on His head. And He's going to be the victorious king. Amen. Aren't you glad we got a king this evening? This morning. We got a king, friend. I'm glad that I got a king. My goodness, I'll be with my kindred forever. I'll be with my king forever. I'll be kneeling at His feet forever. I'll be kneeling at His feet forever. Now I want you to know, listen, the kneeling at the feet shows a type of reverence. But at this place, we will kneel at His feet in reverence of knowing who He is and knowing who I am. We'll kneel presently at the feet of the king. Oh my. Listen, there was a woman in the Bible who washed the feet of Jesus with her hair. And she washed His feet. And by the way, let me just hit on this while I'm here. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that it's a glory unto a woman to have long hair. Did y'all know that? Because she wiped her hair on Jesus, and that glory from Him went through her hair. Isn't that something else right there? That's something else right there. I love the Bible. Amen. I'm glad I got the Bible, the King James Bible. Amen. I tell you, as we go on through that, and as we realize this stuff and we see this kind of stuff, is that when we kneel at the feet of our Savior, we're kneeling with a crown that we got from our works, but we're giving it to Him for His works. Because He ain't never been rewarded. Y'all know that? He bore everything for you and I so we could be rewarded by Him. And it's time that we ought to worship Him like He needs to be worshiped. It's time we ought to praise Him for who He is. Worship Him for what He's done. Because the God of heaven has sent His Son to die for you and I so that we could have eternal life. There's something about that. I'll be kneeling at His feet, friend. Listen, what a day that'll be when I kneel at the feet of the One who has died for me. Amen. Amen. What a reunion day. We see this morning to be the largest family reunion, the longest family reunion, the loveliest family reunion. Lastly, this morning, it will be the loudest family reunion. Y'all know I wasn't going to get by with this one. It'll be the loudest family reunion ever. Turn your Bibles over to the book of Revelation, chapter 19 and verse 1. The Bible says, and after these things I heard, He didn't see them. Thank God, listen to me. He did not see them. He did not visualize them. He didn't do any of that. But guess what He done? He heard them. Amen. Listen, friend, let me just tell y'all something. We ought to be able to be heard 2 aisles over. Somebody say amen there. We ought to be able to be heard in our worship of the King of all glory, because in this place, it'll be the loudest thing you ever have heard. I've had people come into this church specifically. I know I'm a loud preacher. I know. But I've had people come into this church specifically and put Kleenexes in their ears multiple times. Kleenexes in their ears. I've had people sit back there and go like this. Y'all don't see it, but I do. You know what I got to say about that? It's a good thing they're going to have new ears in heaven. It's a good thing. I mean, I want to say it every time I see somebody. This is what, where's some Kleenexes? This is what they do. They sit here, and I've seen it multiple times. They grab a Kleenex, and they go like this. Happened two Sundays ago. Just want to let everybody know. They put it in their ear. I said, my goodness, I think I'd rather listen to my voice for about an hour than rather put a Kleenex in my ear. My goodness, that's so... You can have that back. But anyways, as we go along all this kind of stuff, and as we see this, I'm glad we're going to have new ears in heaven, because it's going to be loud, because the Bible says that Jesus has a voice of many waters. Listen, if I can hear Him, if I can hear Him from here, and if He has, He must have a loud voice. Why? Because He has a loud enough voice to make the graves bust open and come up. Listen, He done it off of Calvary when He said, "It is finished," in Matthew chapter 26. There was some dead people walking around. I just want everybody to know that. There was some dead people walking around because He left with a shout. It said the Father looked down and a shout. He said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which meaning, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He come on down. He shouted. The graves busted open. He went to hell, led the captivity. He did all of these things. And one day when He comes to this place, He's going to come with a shout. The graves are going to burst wide open, and the trump of God is going to, thank God I like that word trump, amen, the trump of God is going to come down, and these people are going to rise up out of their dead bodies, and the people that are here are going to go crazy. Amen. It's going to be the biggest catastrophe you've ever seen in your life. You say, how, preacher? Well, that I heard a story not long ago about this guy who was it? Joe Arthur. Old Joe Arthur was riding on a plane not too long ago, and he said that he was riding on there. He said, and there's this woman sitting beside him. Joe Arthur's an evangelist, traveling evangelist, pastor as well. And he said he was sitting on the plane with this woman beside him, and said he was sitting there and he opened up his Bible. So this woman looked over at him. This is how he done it. All right. It was funny. Put her glasses on her nose. She said, "Is that a Bible?" He said, "Yes, ma'am. That is a Bible." And she said, "Well, I don't believe anything in that Bible." He said, "Well, I believe everything in that Bible." And she said, "Well, I don't care what you believe." And he said, "Well, I believe everything, and I don't really care what you believe either." This is the whole point of the story. He said, "Can I ask you something?" And she said, "Yes." And he said, "You see that flight attendant up there? I mean, you see that pilot up there?" And she said, "Yeah." "What does this have anything to do with this?" And he said, "Well, you know how to fly... what is it? Do you know how to fly a 457? 757? Said, "You know how to fly a 757? And she said, "That don't have anything to do with that." He said, "Well, I know that flight. I know that pilot up there. And he lives right there in Georgia where I live. And I know he's saved. And if the rapture takes place, have fun, honey." Yeah, man. All I got to say, friend, is that when we leaving, we are leaving, amen. There ain't nobody stopping us. That when the shout happens and the eastern sky leaves open, there will be nothing stopping us. Not your friends, not your family, not your son, not your daughters. There ain't nobody stopping you from being here. So you better raise them up right, and you better teach them right. Because one day when he comes, I'm going, and there ain't going to be no preacher here anymore. Yeah, man. Listen, there were some things that Jesus split open while he was here, friend. There were some things Jesus busted open while he was here, friend. He busted open a whole lot of stuff while he was here, to be honest with you. He busted open Bethlehem when he went in the manger and became a king and became a baby. He busted open the veil when he died on Calvary. He busted open the grave. But the next time, he's going to bust open the sky. And I'm going with him. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's going to be the loudest family reunion you've ever experienced in your life. Amen. I thank the Lord for His goodness this morning. I know that there's ones around. I know that the loudest family reunions. Listen, my family's probably the loudest family you've ever met in your entire life. Somebody can say amen right there. Amen. I know I got a loud family. I know all that kind of stuff, but up there, it ain't going to be no fussing, it ain't going to be no fighting. There's going to be none of that. It'll be nothing but loud because we are worshiping the one who has died for us. Amen. It'll be pure worship in that place. Amen. Not from the cherubim, not from the seraphim, but from the sinner saved by grace. Amen, friend. I'm glad about it this morning. I'm glad. I say this to you. It ought to be that way now, though. Shouting will be taking place, and so will singing. So don't let it bore you too much now. Amen. Glory. We'll be shouting, number one, because of our salvation. The Bible says there, it says, hallelujah, salvation. Salvation. We shouting because of our salvation. Let me tell you, if you've had a tough week like, look up here at me. If you've had a tough week like I have this week, if you have had that tough week like I have this week, you can still shout because you ain't going to hell this morning. If you're going to hell, I'm sorry. You ain't got nothing to shout about, but you can get saved. Yeah, man, one of the biggest blasphemous things that Satan can actually do to the child of God is take away the joy of their salvation. That's one of the biggest blasphemy things you've ever seen him do. Let me tell you, you say, preacher, I used to shout, I used to run, I used to sing. What happened? Let me encourage you this morning. If you ever got saved and you used to have a shout, and you used to be able to sing, and you used to be able to run, and you used to be able to do all those things, can I just tell you, don't go crazy on me, don't get sideways on me, but you're still saved. Amen. What happened? Because Jesus said in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. Right? But Satan has got his blasphemous stuff. He's a deceiver. He's a deceiver. Shouting because of my salvation, then shouting, the Bible says, and glory. Shouting because of His splendor. Shouting because I once was blind, but now can see. Amen, because I can't see Him now. Moses couldn't see Him in Exodus 33. But one day, guess what I'll be able to do? My eyes will behold Him because I'll have eyes like Him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 tells us that we shall be like Him. Amen. I couldn't see His splendor through the glass that I looked through darkly, though. Can't never see it. But now I can see Him in all of His glory, all of His splendor. What a sight, friend. What a sight. Every hard day, every tear, every hopeless situation, every heartbroken moment, every time I felt like quitting has been wiped away when I see my Savior. Amen. When I see Jesus face to face. I like what Charles Spurgeon said, and I'll be done. He said, a Jesus who never wept could never wipe away my tears. But He wept. And friend, He's going to wipe away my tears. And by the way, I can wipe away my sweat right now. But wiping my sweat away means that in probably about 2 seconds, my sweat's going to appear back. But when He wipes it away, just like everything else He does it eternally. Amen. Yeah, man, and I'm glad that one day He's going to wipe away my tears, and I'll be happy for the day when He does. Thank God this morning. If you would, stand to your feet. Get somebody to come up here and play. Mackenzie, Dad, somebody. I want you to listen to me this morning for just a moment, and I'm done. There's many, many, many. Many things that we could be shouting about this morning. Many things. Let's listen up here. Don't get too distracted. Distraction will send you to hell. Don't you know that? All I can say is that I want to see this reunion. I want to be in the number. What a reunion that day is going to be, friend. What a glorious, glorious day that will be. When my Jesus, that I shall see. When I look upon His face. The one who saved me by His grace. And when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Amen. Let me ask you, if you're not in the family this morning, you ought to get in. There ain't nothing that's going to stop you from getting in here. But out the door, you sure enough can. You can be stopped. Just like Satan can steal your joy, he can steal anything else too. But then also, if you're saved this morning, be happy about it. Shout about it. Because this day will be the longest, the largest, the loveliest, the loudest family reunion you ever been to. You might be saying, preacher, I don't really care a whole lot for your preaching because you're too loud. Don't worry. I don't care a whole lot for you either. Amen. I'm just kidding around. All I'm saying is that most people don't. But I'll tell you this. I love you. You can get saved.
Amen.
Listen, I don't give invitations of salvation every time. But God's dealt with me this morning about it. I tell you, what a meeting in the air. What a meeting in the air that's going to be. You glad to be saved this morning?
Amen.
I'm glad to be saved this morning. If I couldn't do anything, I want to thank God for His salvation. Thank God for His salvation upon me. What a glorious day. That I can literally be so happy about this day. Because this week, like I said, was tough. But I can look ahead and I can see some things. And I can see they are going to be streets of gold, walls of jasper. Can't see it from here, but faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Right? I mean, it's the things that are hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen, though. And I ain't never seen heaven. I ain't never seen Jesus. But I got faith that both of them's real. And guess what? One of these days, I'm going to see Him. And I'm going to see that place. And I glorify God for it this morning.